We can just close the book right now after that. I love that. That's all just will always put me in that place. And how important it is to lift up his name, to think about his name. We're going to finish up our study on what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And just I'm going to kind of recap just real slightly for us some of the things you've heard. I kind of went through that in here a little bit on my notes, but we talked about those three prepositions. We've gone through them. Para, which is alongside, en, which is in or to reside in the word epi. How important it is for us to know those K, because it's just like the love word agape. Well, then we have epi, which is upon or over you, that we looked at. And I remember sharing with you that the greatest promise ever made to this world was John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You notice there wasn't a condition there? He gave it to the whole world. Isn't it sad that there's a lot of the world today that just will not accept him, will not love him? And the only way they can do that is by rejecting Jesus. And they do, though. But he said that whoever believes in him, meaning Jesus, shall not perish but have eternal life. Of course, it's John 3:16. And I said the greatest gift that he gave to the church was Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I said the first was made about Jesus, and the second was made by Jesus. Real important for us to know that, that it's because of him. And he comes upon you, meaning the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he comes over you, and it would be proper to use the term, he overflows you. That's one of the things we can look at. It's kind of like when we're pouring either coffee or tea or whatever in the cup, obviously we stop before we get to the top, right? Because we don't want it overflowing. But for us as Christians, when the Holy Spirit is constantly reigning and living through us, he overflows in us. And if you would, not to be sacrilegious, but spill it out all over the place, onto those around you, onto family, friends, and whatnot. But we said that when he comes upon you, and that the epi, baptism of the Holy Spirit, is the empowering of the believer for service. We need that in our lives. We need to have the Holy Spirit working in us in order to be effective in our service for him. Oftentimes, this is why when we are in church, or we are the church, or we're doing a ministry along with others, we have to be in a place where God will use us. The Holy Spirit will not reside where there is evil. I just read today that there's a pastor who's 79 years old in where? I forget where it was. Somewhere in Southern California. Oh, one of those places. Who was arrested for sex crimes at 79. And yet I saw a video of him just last year where he's preaching about the Lord. And I'm thinking, obviously, this man did not have the Holy Spirit in him. You can say whatever you want, use words, but there's no power in that message. Why do I say that? There must not have been any power in his life to keep him from committing those crimes, crimes against children, as a matter of fact. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us for the work that God has called us to do, and he's dwelling in us. It is an inward work, and it's based solely on the influencing work of the Holy Spirit within the believer. There's things that God wants us to do. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when Danny was having his illustrious breakfast at McDonald's that God put on his heart. I want you to go talk to that young man. Say, in the most inopportune time, Lord, I'm eating. But it's like the Holy Spirit put that on Danny's heart. And you know what's really cool is that it's not up for us to figure out what God did with that. We just did what he called us to do. And who knows what's going to happen, right? And so a lot of times that inward work, God brings it about. But the baptism, it's an outward working of the Spirit. And it's the flowing forth from my life in that dunamis, or that dynamic way spoken up in Luke 24:49. We need power. in what God is calling us to do. If we don't, then you're going to see a little bit later in the study, even Jesus was given that. And without that, I don't think he could have withstood the 40 days in the desert without eating. All the temptations that Satan put on him. Of course, we know that he was God, but he too, we're going to see, after he was filled with the Spirit, went into the wilderness. Isn't that cool, Roy?
Yes.
After you were filled, you went into the wilderness, and something happened in that wilderness. God made a connection with you that has never been avoided. I mean, that's what solidified, because who knows what was going on during that time in your heart and mind. You might, and you'd have every reason to say, well, you know what? I'm done with this. People have turned away from me, you know, blah, 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 on and on. Lost my wife, blah, blah, blah. How much of this I got to put up with?
Right.
But he took you in the wilderness. And that's where the Holy Spirit, because it was during that time that we were going through the Holy Spirit. And so which is so cool, because we saw in action that the power of God's Spirit working through my life and your life and touching those around us. And so it leads us to that upon experience that has to do with the power, the enabling, and the filling. We all need that. Jesus said that the result of being baptized in the Holy Spirit would be, and if you look in, if you're in Acts still, Acts 1:8, he says, you will, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But notice what he says you're going to do with that power. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How many of you know that during that time, the Pharisee reign, it was very powerful. That religion was very powerful. And Jesus said, you're going to now go and be witnesses of me. They already killed him. And he says, now you're going to go be witnesses of me. How are you going to go be witnesses of somebody that they put to death? What are they going to do to me? Well, he's going to give you power and boldness. And we'll see that in our study to come of Peter when he began to just share the gospel with all of these people. And so being baptized in the Spirit is very necessary, and it's vital to the Christian life for witness and mission. And notice that Jesus forbid the disciples from doing anything about the Great Commission until they had it. How many times have you seen or heard of people who have gone into ministry or have started a ministry, and shortly thereafter, might be a few weeks, months, they're gone. They're no longer even in the church anymore. Why? Because they did it in their own power. If God called you to it, he has to provide the means for it. Okay? I've shared many times with you guys, Lynn and I had no idea, you know, what to do when we planted the church in Los Baños. And God's gave us his word in that, and saying, all I called you to do here is take their hands and put it in mine. And that was so cool, because that was easy. It was him doing it. We just needed to be available. And so there are certain things that he's called us to do in that. But it does involve, look at verses 4 through 5 in Acts 1. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So we know that the Holy Spirit wasn't there yet, right? They believed on him. They were saved. But he's saying, I want you to wait. He says, which? He said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so that is so awesome, because what we saw in that was they were able to exalt Jesus. The Holy Spirit came, those three things, exalt Jesus, living a holy life, and being on mission or service. Yes, Dave.
So when Jesus gives one of those promises and stretches, he's talking directly to the apostles at that point, right?
Yes.
Because we know, at least I've heard, that there are things that Jesus says to the disciples that were specific to the disciples.
Exactly.
They aren't necessarily applicable to everyone that come after.
Right.
But that there are some that are applicable to every believer.
Right.
Is this one of those?
Yes, to all of us, to everyone. Yeah. Because remember, they weren't the only ones that were there. There was 120 of them at that time. So it encompassed all of them. Why? Because we know at Pentecost, as we're going to see in a little bit, that the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them, not just the apostles, but on all of them, right. All 120 people that were there gathered. Right. We saw that out of our study in Acts, for those Bible scholars that remember. But it came upon all of them, because that was a sign that we all now have the Holy Spirit. We're going to see a little bit later.
Right. But we all don't have tongues of fire.
No.
Was described exactly. There.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. Those were some of the form. Signs that were there. Were those signs always there? No. Everybody that ever received the Holy Spirit, they didn't have that occurrence. There's probably many in here that have never had that. I never had the tongues of fire or any of that, but I have seen God work out of my life for someone else. My friend Mike that I told you that committed suicide. And that was a pure working of the Holy Spirit. It had nothing to do with Al. I just happened to be in that place in that time of my life where, and I've shared this before, where I really, Kate probably could understand this right now. If I felt so filled with the Spirit, I didn't have to go around telling people, but I actually felt if God said, I want you to show my power to these people, I want you to walk through that wall. I actually felt I could have done that if he told me to do it. But it better well be him telling me to do that, not me. Because what do you do when God tells you, I want you to pray for him and don't doubt and I will raise him? And he does it. It's amazing.
I was thinking that, because I know I've had this in my own life where I see that promise.
Right.
And it says, you will receive the Holy Spirit and you will receive power.
Right.
And then after becoming a Christian and different points in my life along the way, there have been many times where I act as if I have no power.
Right.
I act as if, and the only thing I can reconcile is that it's because I'm not really believing
right.
the promise at that point.
Exactly.
Because if I believe
exactly
that promise and the Holy Spirit's in me, I don't have to worry about
exactly
whether I can do this because right. God's prompted me to do it. Just do it.
Amen. Yeah.
He's empowered you. I mean, that's, I think, where when Jesus said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, right. you can move this. So it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit in you doing these things. But so often,
yes,
I don't.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I don't have the power. Well, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not believing the promise.
Exactly.
I'm not really walking in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Well, it's not hard to imagine how. What happens when people actually believe that they have that reserved power for themselves? Then we got healing people, right? Fill up stadiums. Come and be healed by the healer. Like, whatever. You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but his initials are Benny Hinn, where you can wave his coat at people and they fall down. That's supposed to be the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a fraud. All of it is. Did God ever heal anybody in a service like that? He might have. But you're not going to know about it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is that way. I share that often. I am the only person left on this earth that saw that experience, other than the nurses and the doctor that was there.
For your friend.
For my friend Mike. I'm the only person. His mom and dad are now gone. Mike's gone. His brother wasn't even there. He lives in Washington. But you don't know that that's happening in you. So therefore, there is no way for you to be able to boast or to think, wow, I did that. No, you didn't. Because I tell you, it was fearful.
But you obeyed.
Yes, exactly.
The prompting.
Yes.
And you weren't thinking, I can't do this.
Yeah, exactly.
And then shrink back.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm talking about, is that when you're prompted and you know you're supposed to do a certain thing,
yeah.
and yet you convince yourself that no, you can't, because you're not trusting that God's provided you with the ability to do that. You don't have to worry about whether you have something to say.
Right.
He will say it.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about it. You have the strength or the wisdom to do something. He will do it. You just have to obey it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
If God calls us to do something, why would we need to worry? Yeah. He's called us. And whatever he's called us to, he has to provide what we have need of. That's why we need to know, is it him that's called us to that? And he will give us the power to do that. And I love that you can confer with one another. I feel God's calling me in this. Would you pray with me to let me know if this is what he wants me to do? Because I know as a pastor in planning a church, a lot of people have great ideas and they come to you, well, I think God would want us to do this. Well, let's pray about it. Well, why do we need to pray if God's called us to it? I said, because he hasn't given me that yet. Well, what are you, the boss? No. But if I allow you to do something that's going to hurt you because either you're not ready or the fellowship's not ready, we're going to be in trouble. And it gives a black eye to the cause of Christ. So we need to pray. Is there anything wrong with praying with what God would want us to do? It takes time. Linda will say a lot of times, you are so slow. You know, when we try to make decisions, you're so slow. Well, a lot of it's times because I'm praying. I don't know what the right thing to do is. And so I won't go off into those illustrations, but we have a bunch of them planting the church there in Los Baños. That church was literally planted by God, lock, stock, and barrel. And it all came by one phrase that Linda said. I was praying, Lord, do we go back and save our house in Arizona? It's a nice house. Or do we stay here to plant a church that we can't even see? And when I said, went back, and I said, you know, we either are going to have to accept a job tomorrow here or go back and save our house. And her words were, I'm not going back. Okay, well, I guess we're staying. You know, I'm not going back. So that was the rest of it. And I believe with all my heart and soul that that is just the stepping stone, the next step to us being here. If we hadn't obeyed that, we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't even know what Oregon was. So what a blessing that when the Lord had given us that. I'm going to get off of us. Yes.
I have a question.
Sure.
With the disciples getting the fire over their head, you mm-hmm. know, and then we don't, there's not a degree of Holy Spirit that they receive that's different than what we receive.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Look at chapter 2, and let's look, matter of fact, since we'll probably go back over this again, but since it came up, it's fresh. Chapter 2 of Acts. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What does that mean? Obviously, they were in the same place. But they are all of one accord. This group right here is all of one accord.
Like,
yeah. Yes. We have not the same degree of spiritual experience, but we all are in one accord with our love for Jesus and our love for one another. We can say that, right? I hope.
So there's I don't know if you've ever read any of C.S. Lewis, but there's a line that is in one of his Narnia books that they're talking about Aslan, which is the representation of Christ. And one of the people ask something about the way he did something.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, he's going to do more.
Yeah.
But it's never going to happen the same way twice.
Yeah. Amen.
In other words, everything is different. So there was a particular purpose in the way that Holy Spirit was poured out in that instance. I mean,
right.
God had a purpose in that because of the many people that were there. The people that spoke in different languages, there was a purpose to that moment. So I think, you know, we shouldn't expect that we're going to see that ourselves when we receive the Holy Spirit. But would it happen again at some point in the future? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it happened then for a particular reason.
Remind me when we get to the end, because you're going to see something. Because we know the result of Pentecost was what? 3,000 people got saved in one day. Right, I don't think we've seen that. I mean, truly saved, born again, in one accord. I don't think we've seen that in a long time. We're talking about how they were with all one accord in one place. Look across your page. It should be at Acts 1:14. The disciples were all up in the upper room, and they're praying about being able to fulfill that 12th apostle. They're being told to go and to wait, and it says, well, Jesus was lifted up, verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up with a cloud and received him out of their sight. That has to be a sight to behold.
And where are we?
Chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Who are those?
Angels.
Two angels. Okay. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him in heaven. And it says, so they returned to Jerusalem, from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And they had entered, when they had entered, they went into the upper room, what were they doing? They were praying, okay? Look at verse 14. These all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother, excuse me, his brothers. They were all there in one accord with what they had experienced, what they had saw with Jesus rising up into the clouds, and they got together. Jesus is real to them. Jesus is real to this group and many groups. But we can say we're all in one accord because we believe that. And how do we believe it? Because we read it. His word. We believe it by faith, right? And so in verse 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Back in chapter 2. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them. See, it doesn't say that it was fire, but it was as if it was fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I'm going to stop there because that's going to be part of our lesson in there. It won't always be an outpouring of tongues, okay? People will look at that. There are hyper-Pentecostals who will say, that is the sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that you speak in tongues. You must speak in tongues. And that is not true, because nowhere in the Word of God does it say that. If that was the case, I mean, we saw it in Cornelius, his family, but there's other places, as the sheet I gave you last week, it's not in there. It's not always on the laying on of hands, and it's not always speaking in other tongues, okay? By the way, let's see if it was. Well, I'll get to it a little bit later.
It's not just babbling.
No. It is an actual language. Because if you look down, as you're still in chapter 2, let's see, I want to look at verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because every one of them heard what? In his own language. They heard a language that was not foreign to them. It was their language, but they're saying, wait a minute, these Jews don't speak our language. Why are we hearing our language? It's because it was a language that was understandable. I've seen exhibits of people who are speaking in tongues that, to me, it's gibberish. There's nothing. Why do I say that? Because there's no interpreter. Nobody can interpret it. There has to be somebody that can interpret a tongue for it to be viable. And when there's no interpretation, that's another study in 1 Corinthians. When there's no interpretation, the tongue is not valid. So we're getting off into a whole different other study. But these guys, even these guys were confused, because they're like, wow, I hear these guys. What were they doing? What were they, the whole time these guys were speaking? Let's see. Well, verse 7, and when they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. And the thing about it is verse 11. The Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues. And what were they hearing? The wonderful works of God.
There was a purpose.
Exactly.
So when you hear, because I came from a charismatic church too, so when you hear someone interpret or give a word of edification, and it's about somebody giving them a marching order or whatever, you should, the Lord's showing me that you need to do this.
Yes.
That's not the works of God.
No. See, we can make it whatever we want it to be. That's the thing. And if people are not knowledgeable enough to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not what the word says, though. And they can, through, what's the word I'm looking for? For a lack of not being contentious, we'll just take it rather than question. And Paul, he would tell the people that he was speaking to, I wish that you people were like the Bereans. They go check me out. They don't just take what I say for gospel. They go check it out and they come back and tell me. We don't think that's what God's word says. So the speaking in tongues, the whole thing I'm getting to is that it doesn't always have to be The outpouring of the Spirit doesn't always have to be speaking in tongues. See, I was taught that. I was told that. And I've even had people try to get me to be able to speak in tongues. If you have to show me how to do it, that's where they come in with the jokes, you know. Rhonda, she wrote a Honda, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you say it fast enough, it sounds like somebody's speaking in tongues. Rhonda, she wrote a Honda, you know, it's like. But I've seen that where people have done that. And you're like, you just confused a bunch of other people now thinking that that is the filling of the Holy Spirit.
Seems to me that that everything that God does has a purpose.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he doesn't just do things for some sort of a weird display.
Yeah.
So yeah. He spoke in tongues for a reason, because there was a lot of people there that didn't speak that language.
Yeah.
So they had to hear it in their language.
Exactly.
Speak of these mighty deeds. So if you're in a church and everybody there speaks English, what purpose is there in the speaking of a tongue?
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no purpose in it other than show.
Yeah. Well, you... We have in there, and what I want to do is I want to be able to get to a place in there, because in the day of Pentecost, a lot of, which was a feast, by the way, that was attributed in the Old Testament. We saw that through the Old Testament. But in Acts chapter 2, when verses, what we were reading, all the way through verse 21, really, it's what's happening before the people. And then Peter begins to preach. If you look in verse 14... of chapter 2, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judah, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk, as you suppose." See, because when they heard these people speaking in all these languages, they're going, "What is that?" They're like, "They're drunk. These people are drunk." And Peter's saying, "No, this is what it is." And he begins to lead them, and I won't read it all, but he begins to lead them through the Old Testament of all the things that God said was going to happen. And when you get to verse 21, he says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he begins to tell them in verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, and you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God," that's what Danny spoke of, there's a purpose, "you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put him to death." These people are now hearing the gospel, probably for the first time. He goes on and begins to tell them all about what David had prophesied during that time. Because who were they looking to in those days, in the Old Testament? They were looking to Father Abraham, to David, who was one of their ancestors, right? But he's telling them all about that. And then we get to verse 22. Well, from verse 22 to verse 35, it has to do with Peter's sermon about the crucifixion of Jesus. But he also laid out how David's prophecy out of Psalm 16, if you want to write that down, this is where a lot of this is from, Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. He's quoting that. And they would know that. But after Peter shared those things, because now, remember, the Holy Spirit has already come upon him, right? At that time, at Pentecost. Now Peter is just, he's boldly sharing with these people, "Guys, this is what this is." But look at verse 36. I'm going to have somebody read verse 36 through 41 for me. Give me a break.
And that's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Peter. Yes.
Because prior to that, Peter wasn't connecting the dots at all.
Exactly.
With what was going on with Jesus.
Exactly.
And now all of a sudden he's like making the connection with the Old Testament. And the,
without fear or
without
trepidation.
Having trained in it.
Yeah.
It's just coming out.
Verses 36 to 41. Somebody read that for me, please.
"Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God shall call to himself.'"
Wow.
"And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day, added that day about 3,000 souls.
Amen.
Well, that verse 40 sure would be pertinent to today, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
And out of this perverse generation.
There's the answer that it's the promises for all of us right here.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Verse 41, and those who gladly received his word, what does that mean? They heard it? Because he said, oh my goodness, after he shared all of that stuff about Jesus, they said, oh man, what must we do to be saved? They knew they needed saving. We killed Jesus. We have sinned. What do we do? And he tells them, repent and be baptized. But verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And then it goes on, my favorite verse, is what we do here. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. Isn't that neat? That's the result of the Holy Spirit. Peter is now, like Danny said earlier, Peter's now doing something that he never could do before. He was a mess, right? He's always boasting. I would never do what those guys are doing, Lord. And Jesus said, Peter, I tell you now, you will deny me 3 times. And he did. A little girl got him to deny that he was with Jesus. But he's brave now. He's bold. It doesn't matter to him because he saw. Not only that, not only did he know the truth about Jesus, but now he's filled with that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Did Peter know who Jesus was when he was with him? Yes, he knew who he was. But he had no idea of that power because Jesus had not yet given that. Jesus had to leave in order for the Holy Spirit to come. Remember what he told Mary when she was at the tomb? When she wanted to hug him, he says, do not get hold of me because I've not yet gone to the Father. He needed to go so that the Holy Spirit could come. We need that. Otherwise, he would only be here, just like it was in the Old Testament, one place at a time. Yet he's here all the time. The disciples had never experienced the things they did up till then. Peter boldly preaching and not boasting about it, but the disciples with the power to endure. Jesus said, this is the power from on high, and it's the word upon. That experience of the Spirit baptism, the world after this was never the same, ever. It could never be the same. I could only pray that we could get back to the first church. I don't know that we'll ever do that because there's so much going on. Could God do it? Yes. But he would probably have to wipe out a lot of stuff. Well, how can you say that, Al? The flood. How evil the world was, only 8 people were deemed to have the ability to be saved. That's how corrupt the world is. Look how corrupt our world is today. It's just getting worse. I believe he won't have to flood. He promised he wouldn't. But he will come back again. And I think that's so cool. Exactly. Luke, I don't know if I put that on your sheet. I think I did. Yeah, Luke. In Luke 2:21, I might be ahead of myself on this, but Luke 3. He tells us that when Jesus began his ministry, it says that when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form. How? Like a dove upon him. So did the Holy Spirit come upon him then? Yes. But he was God. But it's that power that came then. Why? Because there was an acknowledgement to everybody that was there. How do I know that? Let's keep reading. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. How would you like to be at a baptism, okay, and hear those words booming out of heaven? And who I'm well pleased. Why? Because you are doing what he asked us to do, to believe on his son. That just gives me chills when I think about that because it's so important. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only did the people see it that day, but they heard the voice of God tell them that. You are my son, beloved son.
We didn't hear that, but we got one to look forward to.
Amen. Amen.
Well, my good and faithful servant.
Exactly. So we have a model by the life of Christ that every Christian needs these two issues settled for faithful, fruitful life and mission. One is to be full of the Holy Spirit, the upon work of the Spirit. Number two, to be settled in your own identity, the in of the work of the Spirit in you. We have to be settled in that. I am saved. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And what I want to do is I want to pray that I get all that God has for me in order to do what he's called me to do. We're told in Luke, matter of fact, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke 4, 1 through 15. Would somebody else like to read that for me, please? Luke 4, 1 through 15.
And Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all.
Amen.
That's interesting. 14, he returned to Galilee in the power
Amen.
Of the Spirit.
Amen.
So Amen. Even Jesus, you know, needed that power.
Well, even in verse 1. And then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Roy?
Yes.
He was led by the Spirit. See, what is so cool, I would often wonder, Roy had this trip planned. It was scheduled by Krista before she passed away. They did this every year at Devil's Lake, Detroit Lake. Devil's Lake, Detroit Lake. You would think that a person would say, "I don't want to relive that memory. Therefore, I'm not going to go." And if we recall, if we remember, Roy, I hope I don't get it out of turn, but really all hell broke loose during that time. Your tooth, you had to go to the dentist and you were in a lot of pain. And
terrible cold.
You had a terrible cold, you got sick, but you went anyway.
I turned around 12 times.
See, we can see why. It's like, it doesn't make sense. Why would I do that? But somewhere in him, in his heart, the Lord is saying, I need you to do this. Why? He had a work. Could God do it on Jefferson? Sure. But God wanted him alone. He wanted you away from us. He wanted you all to himself so that he could do what none of us could do. And he did it.
He knew how that you wouldn't take it any other way.
And exactly.
It was pretty awesome and pretty scary. I don't know, like.
Yeah.
Like you just
yeah.
fire.
Yeah.
Like a fire.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
It's fearful to fall in the hands of the living.
It is. And it became real to you, just as it has for Lorelai in times she's went through, as it is now happening for Kay. in all of us, in all of our lives. He wants to do that. And that's why we can never be lethargic and say, I don't feel like it. If he's prompting you, he's calling you, he will provide that which you have need of in that.
And don't think I'm something special because that'll
you
happen.
Are.
It was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
But you are special.
You are special. What were you going to say, Lynn?
Jesus having to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to me it shows his humanity.
Yeah.
As coming
exactly.
in human flesh.
Yeah.
He had
exactly.
to go through the same things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here's the other question I have with that. There will be people who say, well, the only way you will ever have the baptism of the Holy Spirit is if you get baptized. See? That's what denominations do. They begin to start to
water
interject.
Baptism.
Yeah, water baptism. Because Jesus was, and that's when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Well, it doesn't say that. That's the only way. Because we've had other instances in Acts where that wasn't the case. I love what Pastor Chuck always said. Where the Bible is silent, we need to remain silent. And whatever it says, we need to look at what it says, not what we want it to say. And I love that. For Kay's benefit, so I know there's another ministry who would say, well, if you're going to start a ministry, then you need to fast for 40 days and the enemy's going to come upon you. That's how we know, because it says right there. No, that's not what it is. But every time that Satan would come to Jesus with, and think about that for a moment. I mean, when he says, all these things were given to me, right? Satan says, all these have been given to me.
Yeah.
That whomever I wish, I can give it to them. Well, let me ask a question. Who gave it to you? God did. He let you rule over you're the prince of this air. That's how lame he was at the time. He didn't realize it was Jesus. But I think he knew that. But here he was. He was hitting him while he was being tempted, and he was weak because he hadn't eaten. But what was Jesus' answer with every one of those things? It is written. It is written. This is what he didn't have dialogue with him. He didn't sit there and go, well, you know, let's debate this. He just said, it is written. It is written. Think about that for a moment. Who's the one that wrote it? Jesus did. It's like saying, that's how loving and kind Jesus was. He doesn't sit there and go, man, you're an idiot, Satan. You don't even realize I was the one that wrote that. And he tells him, get behind me, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. We're only serving him. Guys, we are in trouble because this was a one lesson study, and now I'm going to have to turn it into three. So here's the observation of that chapter that we read. If the Son of God, who was without sin, needed to be filled with the Spirit, how much more do we need that? Think about that. Now here's the deal. There is the Holy Spirit converting us. And then there is the Holy Spirit filling us. That's where people say those are two different experiences. I have taught before that you have to be able to go and ask for it. But the truth of the matter is, if in fact somebody is truly born again, it means they have wholeheartedly given their whole life, body, soul, and spirit to the Lord. There's repentance of sin. There's no more unconfessed sin. There's no doubt. There's not anything. Because they'll tell you that not every Christian has had the Holy Spirit come upon them for the filling power and fruitful witness. Sometimes we may not have that boldness to witness because we may be lacking in that feeling. Doesn't mean we don't have him, but we may be lacking to that overfilling to be able to be bold. And last night I experienced that when I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone. Remember when I shared with you the guy who invited me to his church? It was a Pentecostal church. And I said, you come to mine, I'll come to yours. And I got there and it kind of tricked me out because these people were running around, you know. Well, the guy that I went there with, his name is Pat Jackson. He was a sergeant of them. It was him. He passed away this week. He was in the hospital having surgery done in his heart and stuff like that. And they were said he's going to be okay, he'll be out of it. But for whatever reason, only God knows, he passed away in the hospital. So this other gentleman who lives in Idaho had called me, and yet there was something in me saying, should I pray for Art? But it was weird because I couldn't do it because, number one, I don't really think he is at that place, not for me to judge, but that he's at that place in his life where he knows the Lord. He's a good guy. So my prayer is that I'll have another contact with him to be able to say, hey, can I share with you? Because he's 80, and I didn't realize he was 80, and my heart went out to him like, all of our guys are just falling one right after another. Is he the next? And did I not get a chance to share with him? So I want to make sure that I do that. But I was not so overly whelmed and prompted, share with him right now. That's the emotional response of what we feel we should do. But I need the Lord to put that in me, to be able to have that power, because you got to be able to deal with all those questions that are going to come in just like that. And through that power, like Peter at Pentecost, he just spoke because it was the Holy Spirit who was doing it. See, that experience, it is available for every Christian, but not all have it yet. And the testimony of the book of Acts concerning that tells us that that second baptism experience, number one, we saw last week, the example of the disciples on Pentecost, and you have that on your sheet. I'm going to let you look those up because we're going to run out of time. The examples of the disciples on Pentecost. Number two, the example of some Christians in Samaria in Acts 8. The example of Paul the Apostle in Acts 9 with Ananias baptizing Paul. And the example of some Christians in Ephesus, and that's in Acts 19 verses 1 through 6. I'm going to move on here. I leave that for you to look over in yourselves to be able to refresh your memory from last week. All of this shows us that sometimes people are born again. The Spirit is in them, but they don't receive the fullness of power, the Holy Spirit coming upon them, until a later time. Doesn't mean they're without. If this new experience, the reason why I'm sharing this is, if this new experience had not been given, then the Samaritans and the Ephesian Christians would still have been Christians, but they would have remained weak. And Saul would have never become Paul. The Holy Spirit was, they had hands laid on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And I think this is the state of many Christians today, a lot of times in the church today. Sometimes it happens at the same time. You're saved, you have him in you, and you're baptized in the Spirit, but not concurrently. Does that mean that we're without? No, we have Christ living in us. I'll go over that a little bit more next week, because there are certain barriers to Spirit baptism. What would keep us from being able to receive that? Well, part of it would be, I have a list of six things we'll go over. Some of it might be God's sovereign timing in our lives. I believe that I didn't have that until my experience with my buddy Mike in the hospital. It was at that time that the Lord gave me that, filled me with that. Why? Remember what I said before? My walk was carnal before, you know, years before that. And it wasn't until massive heartache came into my life that I began experiencing a move of God that I never knew before, where it was all about him. I was hungry for his word. It's like, okay, trying to bring it up. What does that mean? What is this? What's going on here? And so there are many, there's like five other ones that I have. Some could be ignorance. Could be a refusal to yield. We'll go over these next week. Maybe a refusal to repent of sin, or maybe a lack of a deep conviction of the need. Could be wrong motive too. There are people today who are like Simon the sorcerer, who saw what the Holy Spirit did. Ooh, how can I buy that? How can I get that in my life so that I look like, do you get my drift? Yeah. It's what I look like, not what God is wanting to do in and through me. And I'm going to put a mark because I have no idea how I got stuck here. Anyway, it's a good thing.
Hey, Luke, about Satan and tempting Jesus for 40 days going on the mountain and all the promising things he
right.
did. I found this years ago, John 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord.
Amen. John the Baptist is saying, you need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he's coming. I'm not worthy to tie his sandals, but he's coming. And he's saying, I can baptize you for the remissions of sins, but one is coming who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit.
That was the first thing after the wilderness thing that I was crying out.
See, that's one of the things that we'll go through at the end of the study. What must there be in order for us to be able to receive that?
open-minded.
Exactly. You got to ask for it. Lord, I need this. There's something lacking in me. I need that. See, Kay could pray that right now if she wants to. Lord, I need that. I need all of you. Linda?
It's neat how he poured out a spirit like that and gave the different languages. It's like his spirit is poured out for that purpose, that need. The last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon us for that need. He pours it out on us individually to go reach out to someone. And he also like gives us words of knowledge sometimes.
Exactly.
That is another pouring out of his spirit. Because when you give somebody a word of knowledge and they look at you and go, how did you know that? That's God moving. So.
Amen.
It's just neat how he just...
There were times when after having been under Mel's tutelage for a while, that he came to a point where he was always, whenever he had to be gone, there was another gentleman that he would have fill in for him. But a quick time came where he asked me, and I was scared to death.
Yeah.
I was like, who am I?
Yeah.
So I couldn't refuse him. You know, I just couldn't do that to him. He had invested so much in me. And so I said, okay, I'll give it a go. Well, in the meantime, for that week, as I'm preparing, I'm like coming up with some really good stuff. I'm starting to feel pretty good, you know. I had some really good stuff. I was starting to feel a little pride that I came up with a really good sermon. I get up, I only use like 1/10 of my sermon.
Yeah.
I started talking on stuff that was coming out of me.
Yeah.
I had no clue. And I was learning as I'm hearing myself talking. I'm learning stuff. I'm like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And I realized afterwards that I was taking too much pride. And God was showing me, listen, I'm going to speak to you. It's not you. It's not you. You can't take pride in this. And it was a real lesson.
For sure.
That's cool. Experience.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, without him, Lord, we couldn't even.